Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Very soon, the time zones will be changing, I think on September the 30th, so at the end of this week. Next week, the time we will be broadcasting will be different for those in the Southern Hemisphere, the same for those in the Northern Hemisphere, so it'll be 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. New Zealand time. And I think that'll go for the listeners in Aussie and South America and anywhere else. It's in the Southern Hemisphere as well. Until the time zone changes in November the 4th in America, I believe, and then the show will be pushed back to midday till 2 p.m., which is good because I've been – ooh, man, I need to be able to sleep in, honestly. Even getting up and doing the show at 10 a.m. is a little bit of a pain because I'm always up late working on stuff. And it's like, you know, it's tough. It's tough. All right. Speaking of things that are tough, the New Zealand Prime Minister facing prosecution for smiling. did I say smiling? I meant spying. Okay. New Zealand's Prime Minister, John Key, this is from Daily News New Zealand, by the way, dnews.co.nz. New Zealand's Prime Minister, John Key, is facing prosecution in court after it was revealed his department spied on more than 80 New Zealanders illegally. The head of the New Zealand Private Prosecution Service, Graham McCreedy, has filed charges against Mr. Key and GCSB head Ian Fletcher under the Crimes Act. McCreedy's also prosecuting, I think, former Mayor of Auckland, John Banks, for taking donations that he did not declare from MrKim.com. So you've got the Prime Minister being corrupt, giving the okay to illegally spy on a whole bunch of people, including Kim.com, being prosecuted by a guy named Graham McCreedy, who's also prosecuting another guy who received donations from Kim.com but didn't declare it, who is incidentally also the Prime Minister's coalition partner in the government. This country's not corrupt, is it? No, bro. Nah, there's just no freaking way. You got to wake up, everybody. I mean, seriously, the country is run by criminals. Okay, if you have any illusions any whatsoever. Just accept the truth. The country is run by corrupt criminals. Anyway, and it's individuals rather than the institutions that wind up bringing these criminals that run the country to justice. People like Mr. Graham McCready. In fact, I really need to get that guy on the show. He sounds like an awesome character. Wellington District Court Deputy Registrar Kevin Conroy has acknowledged the informations. Quote, I now have to consider the matter of the issue of summonses under the provisions of the Summary Procedures Act 1957, he said. Okay, well, there we go. That's going to be good. Hopefully, the Prime Minister will actually go down on these particular charges. But the problem is, this happened quite a while ago. This was like back in a little bit before August. I think maybe July 23rd is when this article first came out. And it's since been announced, and yeah, I think this kind of speaks to my avenue of corruption here, that the it was 80 plus, I think it was 88 people who were being surveilled by the GCSB, the crazy 88, as Kill Bill would say. And, of course, Treasury, the New Zealand Police, and the GCSB, and everybody who's involved, and anybody who could actually wield any form of judicial power, has basically done nothing and said, we'll let you slide just this one millionth time. That's basically it. That's how this country works. It's so freaking corrupt. It's quite frustrating because all the judges are related as well. And I think we've got like 167 out of like 200 court justices or some ridiculous statistics who are like first cousins or whatever. What's his name? Vince Seymour exposed that. Kiwisfirst.co.nz. You can check out his website. He's probably still in jail at the moment for exposing, you guessed it, judicial corruption. They sent him to jail. Yeah, they're frackers. Fracking scum. It's evil. Moving on. This article out of the New Zealand Herald. Welfare cuts for almost 100 fugitives. Well, hold on a second. Are you telling me that there are fugitives from the law who are still receiving a benefit? I'm on the run from the government. Really, are you still receiving a check from the government that you can finance your run from them? Yeah, bro. That's classic. Nearly 100 beneficiaries on the run from police have had their welfare cut in the 6 weeks since the policy was introduced, Social Development Minister Paula Bennett said today. As part of the... Wait a second. This is assuming that they're actually on the run and simply not just wanted. Like, let's say you did commit a crime or whatever and you've got a warrant issued for your arrest. You didn't know that about that or anything like that. And let's say you didn't even commit the crime or whatever. They're just going to cut your benefit if you're even suspected of committing a crime. Let's read on. As part of the government's wide-ranging welfare reforms. Wide-ranging welfare reforms. Now, here's the thing. I agree with the tenets of welfare to a degree, right? Unfortunately, what it does to some people, not all, but some, is it stagnates them and stops them from actually trying to live their life and find a job and so on and so forth. A small section are like that, but that small section live on the dole for a long period of time without finding any work. And here's the thing. I don't believe in finding work either because I think that everybody should create their own way in the world and shouldn't have to be some kind of a slave and shouldn't be forced into working for some scumbag who they don't like because the government's threatening to cut their benefit off if they don't. It's a complicated issue, really. I mean, for the first year doing this radio show, I was doing the radio show with somebody else on AFR, and I was on the sickness benefit because I really, really couldn't work I said to the doctor, look, I'm really depressed and so on and so forth. And I really was. I was in deep trouble. And they gave me a year's worth of the sickness benefit. It was like $200 a week. It was a real struggle to survive. But at the end of that, I'd actually managed to build up a career base in that particular period of time, created a whole bunch of DVDs and gone out and developed connections within the dance party scene and so on and so forth, so that I didn't need that benefit anymore. All right? I spent that year making my own way in the world and then haven't needed them since. Okay? And I think that's a example of what somebody can do, bludging off government money over the course of a year with no checkups. They're capable of actually going out there and doing it. However, a lot of people are not like me in any way, shape, or form. And sure, I was entitled to that money, because I'm a New Zealand citizen, because I was not feeling too happy, right? Apparently, that's all it frickin' takes. And it actually shocked me at just how easy it was. All you had to do was be so down in the dumps that you could barely talk to a doctor without bursting into tears because the stress level is so frickin' high. That was what I was in the situation for, and they gave me the sickness benefit. Thank you. Thank you very much. And now I'm going to spend all of my time, my remaining years, fracking the government for all of the terrible things it does to everybody else. That'll teach them for helping me. A beneficiary on an outstanding arrest warrant for more than 28 days was given 10 days to clear the warrant. How exactly do you clear a warrant?
I don't know.
If they did not, they had their welfare cut, or up to half of it, if they were a parent with dependent children. Whoa, that's nasty, mate. Well, what are you going to do? Oh, we'll only cut off half of your living. You know, like, you'll only be able to pay half your rent and feed your kids half the amount of meals that they normally have if you've got a warrant issued for your arrest and you don't. Whoa. I was just thinking about that. How you treat the worst in society is a reflection upon what you are in the best of society. And this is just cruel. This is just blatant, like, double punishment. I mean, has anybody out there ever been arrested? Yeah? It fucking sucks, eh? It destroys your life. Just the consequences of being arrested alone. First of all, there's the amount of abuse the cops give you. They laugh at you and are basically just like schoolyard bullies, essentially. That's if they don't assault you. And probably they'll do it as well, even if they do. And on top of that, you've got to get some kind of court appearance, which is obviously during the middle of the day when you should be at work. You know, so you have to schedule your life around that. On top of that, you've got some kind of corrupt lawyer scumbag who you have to pay goodness knows how much money through the nose. And even if you don't pay him through the frickin' nose, you get some kind of legal aid lawyer that the bloody government pays for, who works for the Bar Association, who tries to get you convicted and on your way. You know, just dealing with that, the fear and the life on hold kind of thing, is a huge, huge punishment, whether or not you're guilty. That's what I found very interesting about it. Whether or not you are guilty, you get punished massively just through the rigmarole, just through the stress. And now this is just going to add on to it. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a very nice, caring thing to do, does it? You know, because the argument is, oh, well, they're criminals, you know, we shouldn't stick up for the rights of criminals or anything like that. They haven't been working and so on and so forth. You're just making it up, bro. You don't even know who this person is. There's no individual basis being constructed here. This is just simply a demonization technique designed to basically give justification to cut off government benefits to people who quite likely deserve them, just so that you can meet your quotas of such and such blah 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 World Bank conditionalities. All right, as part of the World Bank documents, reduce benefits, privatize the police force, privatize the military, privatize the water, privatize the prisons, privatize the electricity generators, everything. Okay, it's all in the World Bank documents. This is what they do. And first of all, you've got to make sure that the people you're attacking, first of all, are the kind of people that the majority of the population would just not stick up for. And sooner or later, they'll come for you. That's how it works. Arrest warrants just don't go away by themselves, Mrs. Bennett said. They have to be dealt with, and by prompting action through the benefit system, that's happening faster. So, when did the benefit system become an arm of the criminal justice system? Right now. Now, that means that anybody who's going through any kind of criminal prosecution or whatever and happens to be drawing some kind of benefit of any kind will have that used as an enforcement mechanism against them. So the government will literally be able to control your life under threat. Okay, so if somebody can say, I'm going to cut the amount of money you receive by half unless you do such and such, unless you plead guilty. Ah, see, there's an interesting thing. What if it would take you 2 years in order to prove in court that you're innocent? And the government cuts your benefit in half unless you plead guilty and go to jail so that your kids can at least still have the benefit and that the private prisons that the government has running at the moment will be able to keep their quota of prisoners. Government's actually done a contract deal, or at least this, I know that this is the case in the United States, it's probably the same case here, that they have to have a minimum amount of people crammed into prison in order to keep the private companies that are running those prisons happy. Incidentally, every prison and every army base, with the exception of a couple in New Zealand, have a self-contained fluoride system. Did you know that? Even if it's a fluoridated or non-fluoridated council in the local area, they have a self-contained fluoride system. Now, allegedly, and I haven't done the research in order to back this up, but allegedly, the gulags and the concentration camps, Russia and Germany, used fluoridated water, I think at about 6 parts per million, and they found that it calmed the prisoners, victims, quite significantly, that you could reduce the amount of guards that it took to normally keep control of them by, I think, between 25 and 75%, I forget which it was, if they could get rid of a quarter of the guards or three quarters of the guards in order to take care of them, but something along those lines. And this came up in a fluoride meeting the other day where it was asked about this particular phenomenon about the prisons and military bases in New Zealand being fluoridated. And it turns out there was this dude from NATO who goes around testing all the NATO bases' water supply levels and everything like that, making sure that all their NATO bases in Europe, where fluoridation of the water supply is illegal, are up to scratch. So they keep all the army bases overseas fluoridated as well. Maybe so the soldiers won't rise up. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Out the door. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Okay, continuing on with this this article here, welfare cuts for almost 100 fugitives. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg here. And I'm not defending the welfare state per se. All right, well, I think allegedly back in the... Oh, when did we first introduce welfare in New Zealand? I think it was like the early 1900s during the big stock market crash or something like that. You had a whole bunch of people that were in, deep trouble financially, couldn't you know, pay their rent, couldn't feed their kids and so on and so forth. So welfare came along and it prevented the breakdown of society, allegedly. And now... it's partly responsible for the breakdown of society. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. In the 6 weeks since the policy was implemented, 95 people have failed to turn themselves in and have lost their welfare payment. Ms. Bennett said the I remember a story the other day. Not the other day. I think it might have been even last year, of a guy who moved house. And he was asked to pay this fine for like a parking company or something like that. and they sent like 87 letters to his previous address. Didn't try one phone call, didn't try to locate him down, and it took them goodness knows how long, like over a year and a half or something like that, and then kept accruing even more payments over that year and a half. And then a journalist comes in, hires a private investigator. The private investigator finds the guy in about 7 seconds on one of the little databases that he's paid to be a part of. Who is this guy? Where does he live? There we are. And he's got his address, and he goes around and finds them and delivers this thing. So this is how ridiculously slow, stupid, and insane the government and other stupid, unthinking corporations can be. So I wonder how many of those 95 people who've lost their welfare payment had simply moved address, have done nothing nefarious or whatever. And now that they've got their welfare payment restricted, obviously they're probably going to go, what the heck is going on here? Now I suddenly can't feed my kids, and then go into a WINS office where they'll be arrested. Or perhaps on bogus charges. I wonder. Ms. Bennett said that... She's Ms. Bennett. You definitely think that anybody who would marry that would want to get the heck out of there pretty quickly. Ms. Bennett said the policy had also... That's really ad hominem of me, isn't it? Ms. Bennett said the policy also helped to clear 161 arrest warrants. In all, 311 people had been warned. She said taxpayers should not be subsidising people who were on the run from the police. What about the Prime Minister? What about people who are breaking electoral law? What about the people who implemented the Super City Protocol and violated the Local Government Act section whatever that said that there has to be a binding public poll on any local government merger acquisitions or things of that nature? Why should they have their benefits cut? Should they have their cheap air miles that they get as part of their ministerial salary? Should they have those cut? I think so. I mean, hey, I think this is actually a brilliant idea. Stop giving money to criminals. But then we'd have to fire 90% of the people who work for the frickin' government. You know how this works? It's very simple. Do as I say, not as I frickin' do. That's that. I think I've just encapsulated it quite well. The reform also allowed the police commissioner to request the immediate suspension of welfare payments to high-risk offenders. This sanction had been used 9 times. Incidentally, the same amount of time that Ferris Bueller didn't go to school in one semester. In the House, Labor's new social development spokeswoman, Sue Moroney, like Honey Moroney, questioned how the policy would help beneficiaries find jobs. Yeah, I'm going to cut your benefit because you're a wanted felon, and my chief concern is how you're going to find a job. Let's read on. Mrs. Bennett said government had to resolve a person's problems with police before it could deal with the person's employment status. Don't you think that maybe there's a connection here between having problems with police and not being in gainful employment? As far as I know, most people, you know, in fact, that's probably a broad just generalization, but most people who have a job and a steady income and are gainfully employed don't commit crimes in general. So, aren't you putting the horse before the cart here, the cart before the horse here, or whatever the fact that analogy is? I think so. Quote, currently they are breaking the laws, so we would clear up the legal problems that they've got. So we thought we would clear up the legal problems that they've got. Spelling mistake, New Zealand Herald. And then we'll work on the job. I like reading out mainstream media spelling mistakes. Like, not only did they dig this. I talked to somebody who's a former New Zealand Herald investigative reporter. They used to have, like, 95 investigative reporters that worked for them around 2000. Or a little bit earlier, might have been. And now or at least he told me this like three, four years ago, that they were down to five out of 95 investigative journalists. And now they're probably back to one, maybe none. Because most of the things that they actually report on are copy-paste articles from, say, Associated Press. Most of the world news, business news, technology news, entertainment, so on and so forth, all from Associated Press and other effectively massive controlled opposition media. Because they can't afford to pay anybody to do real news. A1, their sponsors, corporate sponsors, who advertise all over their website and their papers and so on and so forth, don't like real news because it threatens their business. You know? I just don't like mainstream media, I guess. Maybe I'm biased. Okay. There were around 15,000 outstanding arrest warrants at one time, and 8,000 of these people were on welfare. That just kind of proves my point. Don't you think, to a large degree, that if you don't have a job, you're far more likely to commit a crime? And 8,000 out of the 15,000 are on welfare. That's the majority, isn't it? Huh. How interesting. And by the numbers, 311 beneficiaries warned for having an arrest warrant for more than 28 days. 161 arrest warrants cleared, and 95 benefits cut, 9 of them high-risk offenders. Okay, so that means, what, 84? 86 people who were not high-risk offenders had their benefits cut. Hmm, I wonder how that works. How is this beneficial? And is like the ironic... They're trying to cut their benefits in order to be of benefit to something, like the criminal justice system. All right, so let me put it like this. They want everybody to basically be a convicted criminal, more or less. That's the thing. Because once you're a convicted criminal, you've got a hell of a lot less rights. You can be surveilled at any time you want. You know, there's parole and so on and so forth. You know, the frackers can just check up on you and so on and so forth. And, of course, the private prison system, which needs prisoners to put in. And so the government's now cutting benefits of people who are out of their arrest warrant zone. And everybody just goes, oh, yeah, that's fine. They're criminals. You know, just take away their rights, take away their benefits, which they've been paying taxes for and are entitled to anyway. Because I'm not committing a crime. I'm not doing this, that, and the other. Well, mate, I'll tell you what. First they'll come for the criminals, then they'll come for the law-abiding citizens, and then there won't be anywhere to stand up for anybody to stand up for you, mate. Okay? We either hang together or we hang separate. Speaking of coming after the criminals... Here's a good article here out of the Huffington Post, the crime section, by John Michael, freelance writer and perpetual student. If you still think pot should be illegal, you are an a-hole. Yep. Can't agree with that a little bit more. Hey, look, every single person who I've ever spoken to in my entire life who wants to keep pot illegal has turned out to be an a-hole. All right. It's this guy has hit the frickin' nail on the head. He's on the money. Some will look at the title of this article and think that I'm baiting you into reading why you're actually for cannabis regulation, because you're really a decent human being. And while you'd be right, the truth is that I want this to be a real issue for you, because I'm not being facetious. You're not stiflingly overprotective. You're not a stiflingly overprotective mum if you don't want your kids taking drugs, legal or not. You're not a narc for wanting to keep money out of the black market. You're not a communist for being uneasy about the potential for big marijuana to join the bankroll of the inebriation lobby. But there are a slew of bellowing, ignorant statements that you make when you support cannabis prohibition. that you don't care about injustice, that you mindlessly repeat propaganda so easily debunked it belies the shallowness of either your intelligence or your integrity, that you are so adverse to admitting that you are wrong about something, regardless of how bigoted, short-sighted, and stupid it makes you look, you don't even care what your stubbornness is saying about you. Yeah. For one, if you think cannabis should remain a Schedule 1 drug, one for which there is no accepted medical use, then you are scientifically illiterate. Yeah. Think about the Rick Simpson oil, man. You can cure cancer, damn near any other thing that you want with it. It's brilliant. It could put half the medical industry, probably most of the medical industry, out of business tomorrow if it was in full production. And being prescribed by doctors. But no, it's a drug. It doesn't have any medical benefit. Not that you have to be a Nobel laureate to be known, to know what you're talking about, but if you've read enough to know what you're talking about, then you aren't talking about prohibition. If you don't think the Earth is younger than civilization, or that vaccines cause autism, or that chiropractic is real medicine, then you're already doing better than most people. But if you ignore the studies year after year after year after year, finding that responsible cannabis use not only shows no long-term damage to the body, but might even benefit it, you are kidding yourself. There is even quite a bit of evidence that suggests cannabis kills cancer cells. A lot of it. A lot of it. And if you didn't hear about that little girl whose severe epilepsy has only ever been alleviated by cannabis oil? Surely you heard about Sanjay Gupta's admission that he was wrong about medicinal pot. Who else has to come clean? A former Surgeon General? A three-fourths majority of doctors? You know? And they're all links to all of these articles here. And this is what I find so incredible about prohibition is that it's much like the fluoride debate in a lot of ways. There is no evidence whatsoever for the laws and the public mindset being the way it is. No evidence whatsoever in any freaking conceivable context of any freaking kind. No justification, no science, no evidence, no freaking way should this be happening. And yet it happens all the time. And in fact, I say that's about 90% of the laws. Maybe 99. Maybe all of the laws. There's no evidence to suggest that any of them actually freaking work. They're being done for a ridiculously nasty, despicable agenda and useful idiots like the general public. Not to offend any members of the general public who are listening now, but that is the reason why all of this scumbaggery throughout the entirety of society, from cannabis prohibition to forced fluoridation and so on and so forth, is going on, is because people ain't informed. They've been indoctrinated from day frickin' one. And they spend the rest of their time watching TV. I was just thinking about this. You know, you watch for 6 hours of TV a day, right? 8 hours of TV in America. What do you learn? How long did you used to spend in school or in work? You spent 8 hours a day at school or at work or whatever, and then spend 8 hours of TV. What did you learn more during? And the answer is you didn't learn anything at work, you didn't learn anything in school, and you didn't learn anything watching TV. So you're spending like 24 hours a day not learning nothing. That's society. No wonder if nothing makes sense to a reasonable and intelligent person, because reasonable and intelligent people ain't in control and aren't able to frickin' vote. You know? By the way, when I say they're not really able to vote, it means that there is no major voting representation for intelligent people who actually know what the frack is going on. There ain't no conspiracy theory party, is there? And even if there was, there'd only be like 12 or 15 people who would vote for it, because all the rest of the conspiracy theorists know that the political regime's so fracked up that you wouldn't want to vote for anything anyway, because nobody who was ever standing for any good ever get elected, because they've rigged all the frickin' elections with electronic voting machines and got all the black people bumped off the frickin' list so that all the other people can vote for George W. Bush. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere, folks. I have a million thoughts flowing through my mind.
black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise,
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You're listening live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I really appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen, because we want some more live listenerships from 5 till 7 Central Time, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, and 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time in the Uber Kingdom. And I really do appreciate all the people who stay up late listening to me, as well as in New Zealand, we have Ifinity FM making the show play, I think, around midnight till 2 a.m. 5 nights a week, which is quite nice, up late at night, sure you are. And also Rush FM in Hamilton, rushfm.co.nz. There are a number of stations around the North Island that play the Vinnie Eastwood Show about four nights a week, I think from Monday through Thursday. Don't play it on Friday nights for some reason. I think they play music in the morning. But yeah, please listen in live whenever you can. It's 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday in New Zealand. It's Monday through Friday in the United States. And of course, this is a listener-supported broadcast. So if you appreciate the articles being read out with a little bit of humor and the great guests and so on and so forth that we have, delivering some philosophy, some reality, some scumbag room, then please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and subscribe for a couple of dollars a month. $5 a month would be lovely. I'd love to have 500 people. 500 people. That means you. To donate $5 a month, all right? If I got an income like that, I'll actually be able to support people, okay? Because I've met so many activists who need $20 here, $20 there, or a camera, or just a microphone, or just a little webcam, or something like that, so they can do their own media. And they're activists, you know. They're really abashed people, right? They're afraid to ask for help and support a lot of the time. I'm not. I'm pretty freaking shameless. So naturally, I see a lot of these people out there who, given a little bit of training and a few minor pieces of equipment, could start doing their own radio shows and their own YouTube channels and so on and so forth today. And that's really what I want to do. That's kind of my thing. Is to get the activists making their media for themselves, because they really do need to. The nation of New Zealand, as well as pretty much every nation on earth at this point, understand the fact that, well, activists are now the reporters. I really can't mince words here. Investigative journalists virtually no longer exist, and the only people who are doing what a credible journalist used to do are now termed activists and crazies and so on and so forth. You know, you talk to these people and they've got mountains of incredible information, gone through government documents, read the laws, break it down, downtown to Chinatown, right? Those people deserve their own radio show. Those people deserve their own YouTube videos and so on and so forth. I've been doing it by myself for them, because I've only been getting enough donations to provide myself with equipment that I need. I want to go bigger. I want to help the entirety of the activist community to the point where they will not need me anymore, so that I can do other things that are needed at this very point. If you have a look at alternative media worldwide, boy, does it need a lot of frickin' help and a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of attention. It really does. And there is no freaking way that all of these people out there who are very bashful, who are reasonably private people, are ever going to get the impetus to go out there and create all of these things that I've created by myself, by themselves. They need a little bit of a helping hand. Probably by somebody who's already done it 1,000 times over, like me. If you want that to happen, then I need you to support me. 500 people, $5 a month. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. There are 10,000 hits a month going just to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com alone. I've had over 2 million hits on the YouTube channel. I have more YouTube subscribers than the New Zealand Herald does by far, nearly double at this point. I am really kicking ass out there. Reason why I'm able to do that is because of your generous donations and support. I don't have a job because this is a full-time job. 10 hours a week on radio minimum, covering activists' protests, covering public meetings, which the media never, ever freaking attend. And even if they do attend, they reduce it to a soundbite. 4.5 seconds of dialogue. That is freaking shameful. When these meetings go on for 2 hours, I publish the whole 2 hour freaking thing. Edited. Multiple camera angles. Titles. To let you know who it is who's speaking. High quality sound. Decent freaking audio is absolutely essential. Do you get it? Do you see the importance of my job? Do you see that this is a hell of a lot more important than having some kind of a slave job? Working for frickin' scum who don't give a frack about anybody, least of all their customers? This is my very important work. This is my contribution to society, and it must be done. Because nobody else in New Zealand is doing it. So please, go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. There is a donate button there. There is a subscribe button there. There is a bank account there. If you want to start up an automatic payment into that bank account, that would be lovely. Go straight in there. I can use it directly. PayPal always takes a cut out of every single donation everybody sent me. If that's the only way you can send me a donation, hey, it's easy. It works. It's PayPal. You know, it's kind of beautiful how it works. Nice and simple. No messing around. Just get it done. 500 people, $5 a month. That's what I want. That means you. I need your help now. The activists need your help now. I will ensure that they get the help that they need, as I have been making sure of it with or without your help for the last 6 or 7 years. Okay? This is my mode of employment. I am trustworthy. I have been getting it done, and you will not find me lacking. Please do that. Please do that for me. Do that for the activists. Do that for all those censored voices from here and around the world who need help but are too afraid to ask. I will help them on your behalf. If you support me, by proxy, you support every conceivable point of view and activist and truth that you could possibly conceive of. This is what I do. And I've been doing it very well. Thank you. Now, getting back onto this cannabis article, after that round of shameless self-promotion, also our board op, Adam, needs some help as well, a lot of help. So, yeah, if you donate to me and say it's for Adam, just on the notes section or whatever through PayPal, I'll make sure that he gets that money as well, because American Freedom Radio doesn't run itself. Adam's running it all by himself. Just kind of hits me just how much work that is. Nobody's donating to him. Does anybody actually really even care about the continued survival of this network and my show and the shows of like a dozen other radio show hosts? Donate to Adam, please, for the love of God. He really needs it. Anyway, back on this cannabis article. You may think you're looking out for kids, and you wouldn't be totally wrong for, being against cannabis prohibition, but there's evidence to suggest that childhood use of cannabis increases the likelihood of psychosis and depression in kids that are predisposed to mental problems. Excuse me. And that would be a fair point if, under our current policies, cannabis hadn't become essentially ubiquitous across high schools. Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking about this the other day when I was like 14 in high school. My friends were like, they pretended to be gangs. Like they literally pretended to be gangs based on drugs. One of them was the chronic sign or whatever. They had their little freaking hand symbols or whatever. And the other one pretended to be a methamphetamine gang. It's like, whoa, hold on a second. Because I was just thinking about that now. Like when you're 14 and you've got such an affinity for drugs that you actually create a fake gang just for fun to emulate chronic and frickin' methamphetamine, that's really fracked up. And I don't think that would happen in a time where drugs are like kind of legal, but you can't get them until you're 18. Because I know all these kids that I went to school with, man, they were getting high pretty much every day. I put on a play, I think, when I was 19. It was like my first job was writing, directing, and producing my own freaking play. And one of them was so high at rehearsals, I had to fire his ass and get somebody else. You know? So this does happen, man. It's actually really quite sad to see what Prohibition is actually doing to kids. It's giving them access to drugs. Drug dealers don't freaking ask you for ID. You know? The kind of scum that sell to kids. Even when I was selling weed in university, I got busted for it. I served my freaking 300 hours community service. I never sold to kids though. You know, that was just something that was just so beneath me. It wasn't even funny. And this is what cannabis prohibition does, really, ladies and gentlemen. It damages the adults, damages the kids, and it misinforms everybody. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Everyone you know depends on it.
Women and children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted. Wounded station in the belly of the vulture. Watch your back, there's no civilians. Women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Okay, let's move on from the cannabis prohibition issue. I think I've covered that rather systemically. This is from the freedomoutpost.com. University students sign petition to legalize abortion after birth. Whoa, putting down infants. Think about that. What kind of a dangerous precedent are we setting here? I mean, are we going back to Spartan times, you know? If he was sickly or misshapen, he would have been discarded. You know, that's... Holy Shiite Muslim. Holy Shiite Muslim. Okay, let's read this out. I've called it what it is and will continue to call abortion murder. Whether it's inside the womb or outside the womb, now video has emerged showing George Mason University students, yes, I'm sure Walter E. Williams is having a fit right now, signing a petition. Who the hell is Walter E. Williams? I don't know. Signing a petition to legalize abortion after birth. According to the petition, which was signed on Wednesday, demanded that lawmakers legalize, quote, fourth trimester abortions. In other words, they want to fully legalize the murder of a child that has been born. I bet you dark occulted mysticism practicing scumbags would love this. The petition... because it'll allow them to sacrifice other people's babies legally and just call it an abortion, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. Well, maybe that's just me trying to think like a psychopath. I could be wrong. The petition, which was circulated on GMU's flagship campus in Fairfax, Virginia, just outside DC, by Media Research Center reporter Dan Joseph, who said it was aimed at sending, quote, a message to our lawmakers that women have the right to choose what to do with their bodies and babies even after their pregnancies. If you don't know what fourth trimester is, it's after the baby is already born, Joseph said. Currently, fourth trimester abortions are illegal in all 50 states. You mean murder of infants is illegal in all 50 states? Oh, that's horrible. That's just horrible. Most my God, these people are freaking psychotic. Shock. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You've just been thinking about this. There's actually people out there who want to just execute infants because they're inconvenient. Oh, God. The country is just falling into a state of disrepair. No morality. No bond of loyalty to your own blood. And people actually sign this kind of thing. It's because most of these university students probably won't even go on to have kids. There was a statistic back in the, I think it might have been late 60s, early 70s, something like 95% of women educated at American universities or colleges didn't have kids. Like something like that. It was a ridiculous statistic. Basically, the higher education you are, the less likely you are to have children because you're all busy getting your careers and so on and so forth. You're too busy doing that to make sure that your bloodline continues. Most responses should horrify anyone with a conscience as they declared anything from okay to cool. One concerned student asked if the procedure would cause harm to the child. Well, see, this is a university-educated American. Would murdering the kid actually cause harm to the child? Yep. The educated are that frickin' retarded. Well, the child wouldn't be there anymore, responded Joseph. It's abortion.
Oh.
Oh, God. This is kind of like making me sick to my stomach. It's like almost like I can't read this. Oh, my God. Oh, God. These people are just sick. And just think about this. If you don't even freaking care. Hey, and it's just this. This will be like one of those steps, you know. And next step will be government forces you to abort your child after birth. Yeah, that'll be the next step. Guaranteed. As opposed to signing a petition about it. Oh, my God. Sweet mother of mercy. These are college students. Do they not know what abortion is? Of course they don't. That's why they're in college, to learn what basic thing like what abortion is. It's taking a life that's not yours. It's ripping up little humans and flushing them down a toilet or throwing them in a trash can. Oh, and also selling their carcass to major pharmaceutical companies so that they can cut them open, remove their organs, and grow viruses on them and extract their blood and then pump them into vaccines which go directly into your bloodstream without any processing. So you're sending foreign DNA from aborted babies into your frickin' bloodstream because that's where they get the organs for growing their viruses now. Did you know that? That is horrific. Every time you go and get a vaccine, and I don't know if anybody's stupid enough to keep taking vaccines, apparently they are, you are having a baby's aborted cells injected directly into your fracking bloodstream. Abortion has been great for the pharmaceutical industry. It's been great for probably why they advocate it so freaking much. You know, wait, do they actually advocate it? I'm not sure. But still, that's the unfortunate fact of it. Oh, God. What sort of mindless automatons is our society producing? The worst kind. The worst kind. My 3-year-old knows what abortion is. It's murder. See, this is his opinion. I kind of sort of agree with him, you know, to a degree. A fourth trimester abortion, that's definitely murder. There ain't no frickin' equivocations. Joseph said that after an hour, he garnered 14 signatures and said it was a lot for the summer since there aren't as many people on campus. This is what the next generation coming behind us is thinking. God help us. God help us in freaking deed. Sweet Jeebus. Oh my God. Like this, I mean, it takes a lot to shock me, but that really shocks me. Somebody actually petitioning to murder freaking born babies? You know, that's just, I mean, I don't agree with abortion first of all, but once the baby's already born, you can kill it? Holy crap. This is the most horrific thing I've ever heard of in my life. These people don't even know what it is. It's kind of like, what did they do with that petition? H2O. I forgot the name of it. But anyway, somebody was going around saying dihydrogen monoxide. There we are. H2O. Water. But they called it dihydrogen monoxide, and they say that it's the many people are killed because of it. It causes soil erosion and many other bad things. You'd be surprised how bad water can actually be if you look at all the negative things that it is, you know, kills people in floods, it contaminates certain things and whatever. It's the primary ingredient in acid rain, you know. And people were going around with a petition. This is a joke, mind you, but the results that they found were very serious. That you ask people, do you want to ban a substance that does all this? And they go, yeah, absolutely. It sounds really freaking dangerous. They're voting to ban water because they have no freaking idea. We are so dumb. Right? This is why I keep reminding myself every day, Vinny, you're really dumb. Okay, just imagine for a moment that you're not as smart as you think you are. Just imagine that you're actually really frickin' stupid. And imagine that you don't have any idea just how frickin' stupid you really are. That's how bad the situation is out there. Right? At least I am willing to admit that I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay? Most people will never admit it. And literally never have known anything that they're talking about whatsoever. Don't even know what water is. Right? Isn't that terrible? Speaking of terrible, early death comes from drinking distilled water. Yeah, see here, from realpharmacy.com. That's pharmacy with an F. By Zoltan P. Rona, MD, MSc. Zoltan! All right. That's from Dude, Where's My Car, by the way. Zoltan! During nearly 19 years of clinical practice, I have had the opportunity to observe the health effects of drinking different types of water. Most of you would agree that drinking unfiltered tap water could be hazardous to your health because of things like parasites, chlorine, fluoride, and dioxins. I'm glad he put the fluoride in there. I love this person already. Many health fanatics, however, are often surprised to hear me say that drinking distilled water on a regular basis is potentially dangerous. Hey, look, it don't have no minerals in it, does it? That's 90% of like the nutritional value of water is all the minerals in it. Or something in it. Otherwise, all it does is flush minerals out of your body and makes you more susceptible to disease. Pretty straightforward, don't you think? Paavo Aiolo wrote about the dangers of distilled water in the 1970s when it first became a fad with the health food crowd. And there's an old saying. I think it might have been Mark Twain or one of those wise old deed guys who are authors of American books. Be careful in reading health books; you may die of a misprint. Distillation is the process in which water is boiled, evaporated, and the vapor condensed. Distilled water is free of dissolved minerals, and because of this, has the special property of being able to actively absorb toxic substances from the body and eliminate them. Studies validate the benefits of drinking distilled water when one is seeking to cleanse or detoxify the system for short periods of time, a few weeks at a time. Fasting using distilled water can be dangerous because the rapid loss of electrolytes, sodium, potassium, chloride, and trace minerals like magnesium, are deficiencies of which can cause heartbeat irregularities and high blood pressure. Cooking foods in distilled water pulls the minerals out of them and lowers their nutrient value. Distilled water is an active absorber, and when it comes into contact with air, it absorbs carbon dioxide, making it acidic. The more distilled water a person drinks, the higher the body acidity becomes. This is why you want minerals, because it raises the pH. All right, a guy on Bob Stevens, I think if you go to the Kiwi Collaborators page on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, he makes this amazing freaking water called pH 10 water. And I don't even know if he's still in business. I haven't talked to him in years. And I wish I could get his border if I find out how the hell we get contact with him. Like, his website's still up there. I think it's like ph10.co.nz, ph10water.co.nz, I think. But yeah, I've tried calling his numbers and no answer. I don't know if he's still in business. According to the US Environmental Protection Agency, distilled water, being essentially mineral-free, is very aggressive in that it tends to dissolve substances with which it is in contact. Notably, carbon dioxide from the air is rapidly absorbed, making the water acidic and even more aggressive. Many metals are dissolved by distilled water as well. The most toxic commercial beverages that people consume, i.e. cola beverages and other soft drinks, are made from distilled water. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's true. As far as I know, that we were all just kind of watered down with municipal fluoridated, chlorinated water, but all right, if you say so. Studies have consistently shown that heavy consumers of soft drinks with or without sugar spill huge amounts of calcium, magnesium, and other trace minerals into the urine. I'd say the artificial sweetener ones are definitely, even if they don't have sugar, basically, you know what aspartame does at higher temperatures, like just a little above room temperature kind of thing? It turns into frickin' formaldehyde. So that means as soon as you drink it, your body heats it up to an appropriate temperature to cause it to become frickin' embalming fluid in your stomach. That might have something to do with maybe all your trace minerals and your death and so on and so forth. Anything? A friend of mine, Barry, was chugging back a lot of this stuff, and he was gaining a lot of weight. He was developing all these sicknesses and so on and so forth. And now he's got a fridge full of all these ridiculously awesome health supplements and stuff like that from different companies and things from all over the place, right? And he's never looked better. Like in the last 2 years that I've known him, he's gotten 2 years younger. Looks like. See, this is the risk of not knowing what's going into your body. You know, read a frickin' health book. You know, do something. Get some exercise. Find out. Because look at it this way: this is your vehicle that you get around with all the time. You cannot frickin' escape your body. No matter how much ayahuasca you take. The more mineral loss, the greater risk for osteoporosis, osteoarthritis, hypothyroidism, coronary artery disease, high blood pressure, and a long list of degenerative diseases generally associated with premature aging. Incidentally, if you are drinking lots of high mineralized, high pH water, it actually stops the aging process virtually dead in its tracks. Okay, you can get to the age of 45, 50 and still look like you're in your early 30s kind of thing if you're drinking the appropriate amount of proper water each day. The reason why a lot of us age so fast nowadays and also develop diseases and so on and so forth and premature aging, whatever, is because we're dehydrated. The vast majority of the time, people are walking around. They're supposed to be like 70, 80, 95% water or something like that. And they've got like around 50% of water on average. All right? We're constantly dehydrated. You know what happens when you're dehydrated? You can't freaking think. Can you? Your cells can't accurately repair themselves or replicate. You know? It's a really bad thing. You got less blood coursing around. So the opposite of blood doping, more or less. Fracked. No energy, no hope of rescue, fracked, basically. That's what being constantly dehydrated is. And everybody's constantly dehydrated, I can assure you. You drink Coke, what's Coke got in it? Oh, it's got sodium.
Why has it got salt in it? It's because when you frickin' finish drinking it, you'll be so frickin' thirsty that you need to buy another one. Unless, of course, you were drinking some mineralized water, in which case you'd actually feel satisfied. You even notice that? That's why they call it the Coca-Cola conspiracy. Because they're doing it on freaking purpose. Like a level 6 biotoxin when it comes off the freaking boats or something. Same as the powdered fluoride, which is like a sulfuric acid complex. It's really horrific stuff. But I think we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Don't you go anywhere.
I was toting my pack along the dusty.
Welcome back.
When along came
an appropriate song for a Fukushima-related article, don't you think? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're going to talk about Fukushima right now after coming off the back of a Johnny Cash song called I've Been Everywhere, Man. Isn't that ironic? The crisis at Fukushima's Unit 4 demands a global takeover. This is by Harvey Wasserman from CommonDreams.org. We are now within 2 months of what may be humankind's most dangerous moment since the Cuban Missile Crisis. I think it's a hell of a lot more than the Cuban Missile Crisis because you can't stop it! There is no excuse for... We're so dead, bro. Oh, God. We're probably going to need that fourth trimester abortion thingy, because all the babies all world round will be born deformed before the week is out. Fukushima's own... Oh, my God, that's really dark. I'm sorry. When I'm scared, I laugh. I'm sorry, it's just a natural reaction. Fukushima really does scare me. It really does. There is no excuse for not acting. All the resources our species can muster must be focused on the fuel pool at Fukushima Unit 4. Fukushima's owner, Tokyo Electric, or TEPCO, sounds like some kind of tepid bath company, says that within as few as 60 days, it may begin trying to remove more than 1,300 spent fuel rods from a badly damaged pool perched 100 feet in the air. The pool rests on a badly damaged building that is tilting, sinking, and could easily come down in the next earthquake, if not on its own. Some 400 tons of fuel in that pool could spew out more than 15,000 times as much radiation as was released at Hiroshima. The one thing certain about this crisis is that TEPCO does not have the scientific, engineering, or financial resources to handle it, nor does the Japanese government. The situation demands a coordinated, worldwide effort of the best scientists and engineers our species can muster, or the species is gone. Why so serious? We already know that thousands of tons of heavily contaminated water are pouring through the Fukushima site, carrying a devil's brew of long-lived poisonous isotopes into the Pacific. Tuna irradiated with fallout traceable to Fukushima have already been caught off the coast of California, and we can expect far worse. TEPCO continues to pour more water into the proximate site of 3 melted reactor cores. It must somehow keep cool. Steam plumes indicate fission may still be going on somewhere underground, but nobody knows exactly where those cores actually are. Much of that irradiated water now sits in a roughly 1,000 huge but fragile tanks that have been quickly assembled and strewn around the site. Many are already leaking. All could shatter in the next earthquake, releasing thousands of tons of permanent poisons into the Pacific. Note, a relatively small earthquake struck Fukushima Prefecture on Thursday, an indication of the inevitable occurrence of larger ones in the near future. And this article's from September 20th by the way, is about 5 days ago. The water flowing through the site is also undermining the remnant structures at Fukushima, including the one supporting the fuel pool at Unit 4. More than 6,000 fuel assemblies now sit in a common pool just 50 metres from Unit 4. Some contain plutonium. You know what plutonium was named after? It's named after Pluto, the Roman god of the underworld, because it's that freaking dangerous. Just one tiny little microgram or something gets into your body is enough to cause death. It's unbelievable. The pool has no containment over it. No containment. It's vulnerable to loss of coolant, the collapse of a nearby building, another earthquake, another tsunami, and more. Overall, more than 11,000 fuel assemblies are scattered around the Fukushima site, according to long-term expert and former Department of Energy official Robert Alvarez. There is more than 85 times as much lethal cesium on site as was released at Chernobyl. 85 times. Chernobyl made cancer rates skyrocket everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know the statistics on this, or what it was, but there was a massive increase in breast cancer and cancers of every freaking kind all over the world from Chernobyl. And now we're dealing with something that's 85 times, and that's just one. That's just one of the many possible radioactive substances and chemicals that can be released if anything bad happens to Fukushima, as if it hasn't been bad enough already. Don't you get it? This is like a virgin extinction level event, you know, to my mind. And this is why Dr. Rima Labo just says, get the frack out of the Northern Hemisphere. And seriously, if you're listening to this and you're living in the Northern Hemisphere, Dr. Rima Labo says, get out of there. It doesn't matter whether you're leaving your home, your family, your children, so on and so forth. It's all gone anyway. But then again, no, there is no then again, is there? There may not be another human race again after this kind of stuff. It's just, whew, whew. Gives me bad vibes, man. Bad vibes reading this kind of information. And I think it must do the same for everybody, you know? What's the best case scenario? What, we won't have to worry about going jogging at night because we'll all glow in the mother fracking dark? Radioactive hotspots continue to be found around Japan. There are indications of heightened rates of thyroid damage among children, local children. The immediate bottom line is that those fuel rods must somehow come safely out of the Unit 4 fuel pool as soon as humanly possible. Just prior to the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that shattered the Fukushima site, the core of Unit 4 was removed for routine maintenance and refueling, like some two dozen reactors in the US and too many more around the world. The General Electric designed pool into which that core now sits is 100 feet in the air. Spent fuel must... Is anybody else concerned about the logic of this? Okay. You have some of the most dangerous radioactive material known to man. And where do you put it? I know. On top of an explosive reactor core 100 feet in the air. Yeah, that's where we spent all. Well, that's where we should put all our spent fuel, don't you think? What a safe place on top of a giant explosive device. God. We're so fracked, bro. We're so fracked. Spent fuel, must somehow be kept underwater. It's clad in zirconium alloy, which will spontaneously ignite when exposed to air. Let's revise that. So let's keep our spent fuel full of some of the most toxic radioactive substances known to man, coated in zirconium, which spontaneously ignites when exposed to air, on top of an enormous nuclear bomb. Potentially. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to figure out that these people are freaking nuts. Long used in flash bulbs for cameras, zirconium burns with an extremely bright, hot flame. Each uncovered rod emits enough radiation to kill somebody standing nearby in a matter of minutes. A conflagration could force all personnel to flee the site and render electronic machinery unworkable. According to Arne Gunderson, a nuclear engineer with 40 years in an industry for which he once manufactured fuel rods, the ones in the Unit 4 core are bent, damaged, and embrittled to the point of crumbling. Cameras have shown troubling quantities of debris in the fuel pool, which itself is damaged. The engineering and scientific barriers to emptying the Unit 4 fuel pool are unique and daunting, says Gunderson, but it must be done to 100% perfection should the attempt fail. The rods could be exposed to air and catch fire, releasing horrific quantities of radiation into the atmosphere. The pool could come crashing to the ground, dumping the rods together in a pile that could fission and possibly explode. The resulting radioactive cloud would threaten the health and safety of all of us. All of us. Chernobyl's first 1986 fallout reached California within 10 days. Fukushima's in 2011 arrived in less than a week. A new fuel fire at Unit 4 could pour out a continuous stream of lethal radioactive poisons for centuries. Former Ambassador Mitsuhe Murata says full-scale release from Fukushima would, quote, destroy the world environment and our civilization. This is not rocket science, nor does it connect to the pugilistic debate over nuclear power plants. This is an issue of human survival. One disaster, one place, one country, and one electricity generating facility can destroy all of mankind in one day. Is this a argument perhaps against nuclear power? It could kill everybody just like that if something went wrong. Yeah, let's place all of them on fault lines around the world. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea, bro. Who came up with that freaking brilliant idea? People are freaking insane. Oh, my God, we're risking all of our freaking lives. The very existence of all humanity is on the freaking brink. And a couple of electricity executives want to save face so they don't ask for help. Sweet mother of mercy. Oh. Neither Tokyo Electric nor the government of Japan can go this alone. There is no excuse for deploying anything less than a coordinated team of the planet's best scientists and engineers. Like this is like, you ever seen the movie Armageddon? You know, where they get like the best oil drillers from around the world to save their ass because there's just no other freaking possibility. There's no way you can do it. Okay, this is one of those moments. Whole world's about to be destroyed by something hurtling through space. You send up whoever you got. Whoever can get the frickin' job done. And you get the frickin' job done so that the human race doesn't get annihilated. But no, we're gonna save face here, you know. We don't wanna be embarrassed in front of the international community for needing help with something that might exterminate the entire human race. No, this is bad, you know. Might do permanent irreparable damage to our reputations. For now, we are petitioning the United Nations and President Obama to mobilize the global scientific and engineering community to take charge at Fukushima and the job of moving those fuel rods to safety. If you have a better idea, please follow it, but do something and do it now. The clock is ticking. The hand of global nuclear disaster is painfully close to midnight. I've just sent an interview request to that Harvey Wasserman. I really want to get him on the show. That'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? I love having this. Man, there's actually been two articles that I've read out today that have scared the living bejesus out of me. One about Fukushima and one about fourth trimester abortions. Anybody else get freaked out by that when I was reading out those articles? It make you kind of feel sick to your stomach maybe freaked out for the future of the entire human race when you realize this stuff is going on and it's not like blown out of proportion or anything. We're actually trying to be like real calm about it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Speaking of remaining calm, this is from the Daily Mail. .co.uk, written by Tamara Cohen, a political correspondent. World's top climate scientist told to, quote, cover up the fact that the Earth's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years. This was released on the 19th of September 2013. Leaked United Nations report reveals the world's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years. Politicians have raised concerns about the final draft. And fears that the findings will encourage deniers of man-made climate change. Well, you're just afraid that the evidence suddenly makes you look like a lying frickin' scumbag that's trying to enslave the entire fracking human race. Did you know that David Cunliffe, the new Labour leader, his missus is the head of the New Zealand Carbon Exchange? Well, hold on a second. So a man who's running for the leader of a country and is vocally a supporter of climate change is married to somebody who would directly benefit monetarily, massively from carbon change, carbon tax legislation that he wants to pass. Should he be elected? And I can guarantee you she's getting money now anyway because the national government has implemented carbon trading and taxes and all of this other kind of stuff. Oh, but they're afraid it'll encourage the denier movement. These people deny things. They deny our lies and misrepresentations and obfuscations of statistics and thousands upon thousands of omissions from all of the official scientific documentation that we made up. We're really unfortunate. No. Dang that information, dang that truth, dang that evidence. It's going to derail our whole frickin' climate change agenda. How terrible is that? You poor dears. You've been sucking down tens of thousands of dollars a year in your frickin' climate change scumbaggery agency salaries so that you could BS everybody with your carbon change frickin' BS. Come on. Just shut up. You're a bunch of lying scum. Frack you. Frack you very much. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Bonkers.
A little bit bonkers, isn't it? Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I want to get through this climate change article. Oh, there's some frickin'... All right. Let's just face some facts here. If you believe anything official sources say without researching it for yourself and determining whether or not it's true, you've got to be freaking crazy. All right, climate change chief among them. Any research into the evidence, it becomes very clear very quickly. Not only has the planet not warmed for the last 15 years amid all these predictions of carbon dioxide, but that giant Icelandic volcano produced goodness knows how much. It produced more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere than the entire human race's contribution to carbon levels for its entire existence. And the temperature didn't rise massively. Isn't that interesting? These people have a belief, okay? Not unlike a religion. In fact, to believe in climate change is a religion, okay? There is no fact whatsoever that will encourage me to believe that climate change is man-made, okay? Not because I'm in denial, but because the evidence simply does not freaking exist, and everybody who says that it has existed has been caught lying. Every single person, okay? Even the people who aren't scientists, even from the people on the street who are on the sign-on campaigns and so on and so forth, to everybody up in the University of East Anglia, every single one of them is a liar. I can say that with absolute certainty because I've never seen the truth come out of their mouth or down in documents or anything like that. They're just there to BS you. Why does somebody lie to you? It's because they don't want you to realize something. Why does somebody lie to you? It's because they're trying to take something from you. The climate change argument works like this. Can you name me a single human activity that doesn't produce carbon dioxide? See that breath? That exhale right there? That's carbon dioxide. Every single human activity causes it. So if you wanted to make something illegal, if you wanted to make something taxable, if your agenda is to control the movement and the work life and every single aspect of life of the entire human race, what would be your target if not carbon dioxide? That is the point. Control of the whole human race. Nothing less. Scientists working on the most authoritative study on climate change were urged to cover up the fact that the world's temperature hasn't risen for the last 15 years, it is claimed. A leaked copy of the United Nations report compiled by hundreds of scientists shows politicians in Belgium, Germany, Hungary and the United States raise concerns about the final draft. Published next week, it is expected to address the fact that 1998 was the hottest year on record and world temperatures have not yet exceeded it. Which scientists have so far struggled to explain? The report is the result of 6 years' work by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, which a lot of climate change activists don't even know frickin' exists, which is seen as the world authority on the extent of climate change and what is causing it, on which governments, including Britain's, base their green policies. Concerns. Scientists have been urged to cover up that fact. Right. It hasn't. I mean, come on. Really? I mean, case frickin' closed, don't you think? But leaked documents seen by the Associated Press yesterday revealed deep concerns among politicians about a lack of global warming over the past few years. Germany called for the reference to the slowdown in global warming to be deleted, saying looking at a time span of just 10 to 15 years was, quote, misleading. And they should focus on decades or centuries. Really? Really? Hungary worried the report would provide ammunition for deniers of man-made climate change. You mean the facts would encourage somebody who disagrees with you? How dare they? Belgium objected to using 1998 as the starting year for statistics as it was exceptionally warm and makes the graph look flat, and suggesting using 1999 or 2000 instead to give a more upward-pointing curve. World's top... I mean, come on. They're just a bunch of liars and manipulators and obfuscators of statistics. This is no different to eugenics, okay? Racial purity. Okay, that's what I hear translated when somebody says climate change. I hear racial purity. This United States delegation even weighed in, urging the authors of the report to explain away the lack of warming using the, quote, leading hypothesis among scientists that the lower warming is down to more heat being absorbed by the ocean, which has got hotter. Probably nothing to do. The massive amounts of Fukushima radiation that have been dumped into it over the last couple of years. The last IPCC assessment report was published in 2007, which has been the subject of huge controversy after it had to correct the embarrassing claim that the Himalayas would melt by 2035. See, they just make insane projections. Okay, this is in programming circles, it's called garbage in, garbage out. If you put BS information into a model, it's going to model you some BS results, isn't it? It was engulfed in the ClimateGate scandal surrounding leaked emails allegedly showing scientists in it trying to manipulate their data to make it look more convincing, although several inquiries found no wrongdoing. Inquiries of which didn't take into account that all of the scientists admitted those emails were theirs, and the inquiries were held by people who actually had an interest in the climate change agenda. Okay? It's a biased trial. Of course it found no wrongdoing. Just as now they're saying to hide the decline of the last 15 years and so on and so forth. It's the exact same methodology every single freaking time. Of course they're finding no wrongdoing, because they can do no wrong. The latest report, which runs to 2,000 pages, will be shown to representatives of all 195 governments next week at a meeting in Stockholm. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Hopefully all these climate changes will have Stockholm syndrome so that they can love the people who lie to them and then frickin' enslave them and call them scum behind their back, who can discuss alterations they want to make. So we're just going to alter the scientific evidence now. Yeah. Yeah, that's a brilliant idea. Like, this is what the evidence finds. Well, we're not supposed to find that, though, because we're making stuff up. Scum. But since it was issued to governments in June, they have raised hundreds of objections about the 20-page summary for policymakers, which sums up the findings of the scientists. When it says it will inform renewable energy policies and how much consumers and businesses will pay for them. All right, so bunch of people who are meteorologists decide what energy policies we would use and who has to pay for them. Oh, really? The report is expected to say the rate of warming between 1998 and 2012 was about half of the average rate since 1951, and put this down to natural variations such as the El Nino and La Nina ocean cycles and the cooling effects of volcanoes. Well, hold on. So carbon dioxide being released into the atmosphere actually cools the climate. A German climate scientist, Stefan Rahmstorf, who reviewed the chapter on sea levels yesterday, admitted it was possible the report's authors were feeling under pressure to address the slowdown in warming due to the, quote, public debate around the issue. And I think a recent article has come out and said that Australia and its coastline is actually falling and the sea level is getting lower. Isn't that interesting? The draft report, which is not new research, but a synthesis of all the work being done by scientists around the world, is likely to be highly disputed at the three-day meeting. It will make the case that humans are causing global warming with carbon emissions even more strongly, upgrading it from very likely in 2007 to extremely likely it is man-made. It's like the warning level on after 9/11, you know? Oh, it's orange, it's purple, it's fruity today. It's ridiculous. But scientists are under pressure to explain why the warming has not exceeded 1998 levels, although the decade 2000 to 2010 was the hottest on record. Okay, how could it have not have increased and yet have the next decade be the hottest on record? Maybe it's because there used to be 700 climate weather monitoring stations in Canada. Just take Canada as an example. There were 700. Of these stations. They reduced them to 7. Was it 7? I think it might have been 10 or something like that. And they only left in the weather modification stations that were on, you know, black tarmacs at airports, so on and so forth. And naturally, oh my God, we've recorded a warming. It's the hottest year on record. Eldon Meyer outside the air conditioning vents where they pump all the hot air from the buildings directly onto the weather monitoring equipment, as Niwa in New Zealand was caught doing. Everything they say is a freaking lie. Eldon Meyer, the Union of Concerned Scientists based in Washington, said yesterday, I think to not address it would be a problem because then you basically have the denialist saying, look, the IPCC is silent on the issue. Well, of course. Jonathan Lynn, a spokesperson. Hey, my sister's husband's called Jonathan. A spokesperson for the IPCC said yesterday, this is the accumulation of 4 years' work by hundreds of scientists where governments get a chance to ensure the summary for policymakers is clear and concise in a dialogue with the scientists who wrote it and have the opportunity to raise any topics they think should be highlighted. Well, I guess they didn't include the 500 frickin' scientists that quit in disgrace and really, really hated the entire original IPCC report because all of their frickin' findings were cherry-picked, taken out of context by these climate scientist propagandist fracks. Okay? I don't know what I can say to you people. These people are scum. They're liars. They're frickin' evil.
evil. Like it's a phrase of the devil. Do not trust anything they say, Igor. Don't trust them. They will kill you, and they will enslave the human race.
Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the very lighthearted Vinnie Eastwood Show. And we'll see you again sometime. Assuredly. Make sure to go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate.